This is Emergency Medicine Match Advice, sponsored by Academic Life and Emergency Medicine, a podcast series designed to help medical students and residents strategically navigate the process of applying for residency in emergency medicine or to EM-sponsored fellowship programs. I'm your host, Mike Gisanti from Stanford University. Let's get started. Welcome to Emergency Medicine Match Advice, the Google Hangout web series sponsored by your friends at Academic Life and Emergency Medicine, and its editor-in-chief, our fearless leader in the dark and stormy world of medical education, Dr. Michelle Lin from UCSF. Hello, Michelle.
I'm so looking forward to this. This county episode is going to be epic, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm really excited, too. This is another very special episode, but kind of aren't they all these days? Today's topic is entitled Emergency Medicine Match Advice for the County-Based Emergency Medicine Programs. And to offer their sage advice on matching to a county program, we have four outstanding program directors, Dr. Taku Taira, the Associate PD from LA County, USC. Hi, Taku.
Hi.
Dr. Melissa White, the brand new program director down at Emory University. Hi, Dr. White.
Hello.
Suffering with the flu down there, too. Thank you so much for joining us. Our host for today, Dr. Teresa Smith, the program director at SUNY Downstate Kings County. Hi, Teresa.
Hi. Thanks again for doing this.
I say she's the host because she kind of gathered the panel for us as part of the CORD task force or interest group, I should say, for county program directors. So thanks for doing that. And our last panelist, but not least, Dr. Jenny Buchanan, assistant program director at Denver Health. Hi, Jenny.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. So how about that for a panel of powerhouse county programs today? As we record this episode in mid-January, right when most programs are wrapping up interview season, I had the opportunity this year to welcome over 150 students to our program, and I encourage them to visit a wide array of institutions to see the wonderful variety of training formats that we have in our specialty. And perhaps more than any other discipline, emergency medicine offers many paths, 3- and 4-year curricula, as well as sponsoring institutions that include university-based or community hospital-based, and obviously county or public hospital-based programs, or some combination of these formats and settings. So while graduates from all of these different types of formats will become emergency physicians, their training experiences and future practice preferences might be very different. I view interview season as the sorting hat, you remember, as described in the Harry Potter books, right? So if you remember the scene, the new little students at Hogwarts show up and they place this sorting hat on their heads and they learn which house they're going to belong to for life, right? So are you a Ravenclaw? Are you a Gryffindor? Similarly, I think preferences for training formats and hospital types seem to sort themselves out just like the sorting hat in the match, right? So many times I've heard emergency medicine interns say something to the effect of, I always knew I was a county girl throughout the whole process, as if the sorting hat, or in this case, the match, made their decision or the match outcome truly authentic. So that's what we're going to get at today. So what is distinctive about training and working in the emergency departments of our public hospitals in the United States? Obviously, underserved patients with poor or no access to health insurance or no medical home present to private hospitals just like county hospitals. But how does one determine if county medicine exclusively is right for them? Are they a county guy or a county girl? That's what today's episode is all about. So let's turn to our panel to get some sage wisdom on this very interesting topic. And we're going to talk, I think, appropriately with Dr. Taira first, because he's from LA County, USC, the oldest emergency medicine program in the country, which happens to be a county hospital. So hello, Dr. Taira. How are you?
Hello, Dr. Zandi.
It's nice to have you. All right. So I want you to first share a little bit of background info. Taku, where have you worked so far? Where did you train? Where have you practiced? It'll just help us get a sense of, are you a county guy?
So I did my training at NYU Bellevue, and where I was a chief resident, graduated in 2009. I then was the assistant program director at Stony Brook in Long Island, which is more of a tertiary referral center. It's much more suburban in Long Island. I was a assistant program director at All of You Medical Center, which is part of UCLA, All of You, for 1 year. And I've been at LAC, USC for, this is my 5th year. Of my 3 attending positions, 2 have been at county hospitals. And you also forgot that there's also Hufflepuff, which is what I was sorted into. So if you've ever done the sorting hat.
I have. I'm not going to tell everybody that. Well, maybe I'll share with the world. I'm Slytherin, right? I did a Slytherin hat. I was Slytherin. I was so upset. Probably many of our viewers will agree that I'm probably Slytherin. But
yeah,
I was really not happy. I'm sure you're Gryffindor, right? Are you Gryffindor?
No.
I would love to be.
I think Michelle's probably secretly Slytherin too, world. I'm just going to tell you.
All right, tell people.
So Taku, what she is. What important differences exist between the practice of medicine exclusively at county or public hospitals versus private hospitals? You've seen both. I'd really like to get your sage perspective on this first.
You know, I think that one of the things that I would say about county programs in general is that they're also not uniform. You know, you go to different county programs and the flavor is always a little bit different. There may be, you know, they might be in the same category, but there's a lot of differences within those as well. I think that when you talk about county programs, that people automatically go towards the patient population, obviously. Most places are how indigent their population is measured by what your Medicaid population percentage is. Ours is an incredibly low number because most of our patients are self-pay because we have mostly people who are not eligible for public assistance. So we have mostly self-pay. We have a patient population that's very skewed towards the Latino immigrant population. So even within the patient populations, there's a lot of variety, but we generally do serve one. We are the major trauma center in our area. So we have a lot of trauma, but we also have a lot of, you know, indigent care. We also do a lot of the primary care as well, kind of the things that you would associate with county programs. I think that the part that I would just mention, though, is that it's not just the patients, but it's also the environment, which also includes not just your nurses, your staff. These are all people who generally choose to work at county. And I think that they're all, everywhere that I've been that's been a county place, you're surrounded by people who are drawn towards working with that population. And I always felt that at the county places, there was a much more of an esprit de corps. If that's what works for you, that's great. If not, then, you know, then you're going to have some trouble.
Hey, Taku, well said. And I'm going to follow up on that whole sorting hat. We're going to kill this analogy. We're going to run it into the ground. But would you say you are sorted into a county guy kind of a mentality? Because like you are the ultimate chameleon, right? Of all APDs, you're like all over the place. You are able to adapt in all these different programs. But would you say you're a county guy?
It really, I mean, not to evade the question, but I think it really depends how you define it. I think that I feel very happy and comfortable in my position. But I think that has just as much to do with the patient population, which our patient population is absolutely really amazing. They're a group of people who are so grateful and that make you want to work so hard because they're so grateful, and that it's a place where I personally gain a lot of personal meaning from and satisfaction from. At the same time, you know, I also got a lot of meaning from my work at Stony Brook's. I love what I do. I can't see myself not working with this sort of in this environment. But at the same time, you always work to enjoy what is best about what you're surrounded by. So I think that to say that you're a county guy is also kind of limiting yourself and kind of being a little bit pigeonholing or narrow. Do I fall into the stereotype? Maybe. Do I really love working at county places? And I think that that's going to be where I'm going to continue to work at. I goes, yeah, absolutely.
Well said. I'm going to call him a county plus guy and then some.
This is why he's Ravenclaw.
Exactly.
Hufflepuff. Well, all right.
We're the people that everybody forgets about. And they're
not as clean. All right. Thank you very much. Let's kind of stick with that theme a little bit of identity and culture and what that means. We're going to chat next with Dr. White from Emory. But first, same background questions. Where did you train? Where have you worked? So we get a good sense of that.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much for having me. This is exciting. I haven't done one of these podcasts before, so it's exciting to do this. You know, I'm curious to see what hat I actually fall into, because I think I actually have quite a few different hats. Coming from Emory, we're actually an interesting program, but behind the scenes, actually, and how I actually got to where I am, started out in Atlanta as a paramedic. So would work the streets as a paramedic, and then brought majority of my patients actually from downtown Atlanta to Grady. So that was always the receiving center. So Emory is affiliated with Grady Hospital, and that's where we do a majority of our training, which is why my hat in the house that you guys have me in may look a little bit different. Found my way there for undergraduate in graduate school, and then went someplace else for medical school, came back to Emory for residency, loved it. And we'll talk a little bit more about why that makes it maybe a little bit different, my hats there. Did a fellowship in emergency medical services and ended up in education through EMS. And so really kind of found my route and my love and passion for a particular patient population through my prior work before I went into medical school, and then my work within the pre-hospital system too. And then landed within education and was happy to stay on as faculty and then APD and then most recently as program director. So it's been really exciting and love the position and love the residents and the patient population.
Well, maybe you could get into a little bit more detail about programs like yours and in Denver Health that have an academic faculty or an academic department of emergency medicine that crosses numerous different types of hospitals. In your case, I know Grady's the county hospital, but there's also Emory University Hospital in Midtown being more like a community hospital in some ways. NYU Bellevue certainly has a very characteristic split. Michelle's UCSF, San Francisco General Combined Program, and others split their resident and faculty time between a variety of hospitals. So can you specifically describe the arrangement in Emory and kind of shed a little bit of light as to what that means for you?
Right. So there are a couple of our programs that really have this very interesting and fascinating blend where we are also affiliated with a university system, like you said. So for us, it would be Emory. So as faculty, the faculty and residents kind of function just a little bit differently. When I actually graduated as faculty, I worked at Emory Main Hospital 80% of the time, which is our more of a tertiary quaternary receiving center. So a lot of transplants, very different patient population coming in throughout the Southeast. A little bit different type of emergency medicine, if you will. And then 20% of my time was at Grady as a junior faculty. And then I switched over to Emory Midtown, which is more of our community practice, still Emory affiliated with the Emory name. More of that community type feel, working a little bit more on our own, fewer residents actually within our system. And again, a very different patient population in downtown Atlanta, if you will. And then the rest of my time was split at Grady. And then as I moved on, currently now I work 100% at Grady, which is our downtown. We service more of a Fulton County and DeKalb County patient populations, as well as receiving center for other individuals with the level one trauma center. And so that's how the faculty is currently set up at this time. You'll find us a little bit more divided now, but the residents do spend a good bit of their time in training. So the heart and soul of what we say of our program, we're Emory proud, Grady made, is kind of what you'll hear us say. And so the residents, majority of the time, they'll spend the good bit of their training at Grady Hospital, which is why we have that very service-oriented feel and love and passion, and we consider ourselves that county program. But that Emory pride is still in there as well. And I think you'll hear that really intricate balance as well with that type of institution, that you have multiple different layers and ability to really interact at different sites as well and see a little bit different type of emergency medicine depending on who's coming into your sites. But different hats.
I love that story. I had no idea that you were a paramedic and you've come full circle back to Grady. How cool of a story is that? I love
it. It's pretty exciting, but I will tell you, some of the medics know me from before and my main name, I'm like, no stories. But it's really neat, right? That's the life cycle. It's kind of like what we want with our residents too. You know, you want to see them grow up and see the amazing things that they do. And so it's really neat to have
been
there.
That's fascinating. Yeah. That's fascinating. And I wanted to actually clarify what you said. So I wasn't sure how your residents get training in terms of their split at different hospitals, but would you identify your Emory program, since you are on a county Google Hangout episode, would you identify your program as primarily county, or how would you define it?
No, great question. So majority of our residents, so majority of their time is actually at Grady. So I would say probably about 80% of their training will be at a Grady site or one of the rotations. So the residents really learn there. They mature in first and second and third years, and they're learning the different levels of emergency medicine and what it means to take that ownership. And that really big transition is done at Grady. A majority of their training is at that site. The other sites, you'll have several months where you're working specifically in those areas, whether it's at Emory Midtown or Emory Main, and then you'll have some blended months as well. So less time is spent at those other sites, but it does give you a little bit of a taste of emergency medicine from a different lens, if you will. Great question.
What about you, Michelle? I mean, you're in a split program, right? So you're half San Francisco General, half UCSF for your residents.
Yep.
What is the identity there? Does the split?
That's a good question. And they're also over at the Children's Hospital now, too, that we just
right,
built.
Right.
So, I mean, I think we're proud to have a pretty nice blend of residents going to the different hospitals and systems. I wouldn't say we're primarily county. We're a nice hybrid, I think.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's switch gears. We're going to kind of leave some of this culture identity stuff and move on to the information that really helps applicants, right? We're on EM Match Advice, and we're going to turn our attention to the sage Dr. Smith from Kings County, SUNY Downstate. But first, same question to start. Where did you train? Where have you practiced?
So I also trained at NYU Bellevue. Actually, Taku is my chief resident. We can blame him for everything that happens from this point forward. So yes, I trained at NYU Bellevue. I actually went to NYU Medical School and stayed on there. I came to SUNY Downstate for an emergency ultrasound fellowship. which was a year-long fellowship. And to be honest, I was living in Brooklyn at the time, and I figured this is one of the largest ultrasound fellowships. I might as well go to another county program. But after training at NYU Bellevue, my intent wasn't necessarily to stay county. But as you said, maybe your hat identifies you more than you identifying which hat to pick. I do definitely identify as a county gal. And I probably will be in the county system, specifically the H&H system for my career. But we can never say what will happen in the next few years, but I'm definitely county.
All right, well, let's focus on the application process. What are you looking for in candidates to your program, which is based entirely at a county hospital?
One of the things that we've been talking about is a patient population, but we also must talk about the system, the actual system and how the hospitals work themselves. And in all honesty, they don't necessarily function at the highest level, meaning that we don't have all of the resources that we would like to have. We don't have a lot of the staffing that we would like to have. And we don't want to stereotype county programs, but this is really the reality oftentimes. And so the person that does well in our county hospitals, and I'll speak for myself and the other county programs, is the person who is not just going to list the complaints, but really try to help us fix the system. It's someone who has that drive and says, you know, I realize that there are deficiencies in the system, but I want to be there to help fix them. And again, this might be a certain type of person. I also think that it's going to be someone who doesn't mind rolling up their sleeves and getting their hands dirty, doing the things that might not be doctor's job, the IV placements, the transport. And while, yes, at most county systems, we're trying to change that so that this is not sacrificing the education of the residents, but it still exists. It probably is what really clinically identifies us as county, is having to do all of these other jobs. If you don't mind doing that, if you don't mind rolling up your sleeve and getting your hands dirty, and if you don't mind being creative in how you're going to provide care, because the fact of the matter is, not only are our patients resource limited, but our hospital systems are also resource limited, which means that it's up to the physicians to be this creative provider. And how do I kind of trick the system so that I can get my patient the good quality care? I just want to make sure that we reiterate that our patients are all going to get good quality care, whether you're at a community or a private practice or a county practice, but it's because of the providers. And if you're the type of person that's creative in your solutions and trying to figure out how to get that patient appointment, how to get them follow up, how to get them their medications that they're going to need if they don't have the money and your hospital doesn't necessarily have the resources, then you're probably a county person too.
Hey, Teresa, I love that you focused on the realities of a county underserved public hospital system. I mean, it's not for everybody. It is, there actually is no perfect hospital system, but I'm glad you brought that up. And during interview season, I'm wondering, how do you tease out these qualities in the residents, right? It's not like you're like, oh, what 1, 2, 3 research studies have you done? I assume that's not all you focus on, but what are the themes or what other discussion points do you focus on being a county institution?
We heavily look at not just grades. I think we all have this. This is for another discussion, you know, looking at grades and filtering out grades, but what else have you done in your life? So if you've had a career in EMS, right? That's definitely impressive for us. If you've done a lot of international studies and worked in third world countries that are also resource poor, that is definitely very interesting to us. Community engagement, community outreach, having these leadership within your medical school where you're doing a lot of free clinic work or maybe helping to run your free clinic. All of these things carry a lot of weight when we're reviewing applications, probably even more so than grades. When we see that leadership skill, we see that dedication to the community, whether it's here, nationally, domestically, or internationally, we realize that these are the type of people that really want to come to our county program, again, to help us fix some of the deficiencies within our system and to become really less frustrated with the day-to-day struggle of working in a county program, but looking at the big picture of how can we provide quality care to our patients, no matter what the resource limitations that we have.
All right. Well, let's get our final panelist a chance to talk. Dr. Jenny Buchanan has been waiting patiently in the wings from Denver Health. Jenny, where have you practiced? Where did you train? Where did you practice?
Yeah, I'm originally actually from Grip in Los Angeles and did my medical training at UC San Diego. Mm-hmm. Actually stayed there for internship and then came out to Denver I initially actually did OBGYN and then saw the light with the former program director there, Bin Lee. Sat down with him and he guided me in the right direction, and I was lucky enough to land a spot in Denver. I completed residency and then went on to do a medical toxicology fellowship, which I think it's so interesting. There's like three of us, probably more, that are fellowship trained on the panel today, and then have stayed on. I've been in here for about, if you include residency, been at Denver Health for 13, almost 14 years now.
Great. All right. So what I'd like to get a sense from you is sort of additional advice for applicants, primarily around the right fit. Fit sometimes gets a bad name when we talk about residency selection, but perhaps there are certain types of candidates that really would thrive at your program. Who would they be and what advice do you have for them?
Yeah, no, specifically for Denver Health, I mean, I would say you have to first know yourself. Know yourself, what you need, you know, how you learn, what kind of environment you're going to thrive in, what kind of do you fit with the residents? Will they be the colleagues, the people that you really want to work with? And finally, is it a place where you want to live and you're going to be happy? I think the most important thing is knowing yourself and what you want to get out of the program.
All right, Jenny, I got a tough question for you. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what students are going to want to know, frankly, are going to be, how do I know if I'm not a county person? Can you please share with me like the contraindications, right? Like, when should I not apply to county programs? Do you have any advice or kind of framework for them to think about this process?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think...
It's a stumper.
I don't want to make a generalization here, but I think county programs are very egalitarian. We work as a team. Everybody works as a team together. So if you thrive in a more hierarchical environment, then maybe it might not be the place for you. Other things that I think that are important to take into account is if patients that contribute to their own self-harm bother you, we deal with a lot of chronic addiction and people that harm themselves. So I think if that really bothers you, then it might not be a great place for you to train. And then finally, and Teresa touched upon this, we are resource limited. So if you have an interest in something that's going to require a ton of resources, then maybe a county program might not be the place for you.
So you're saying if you wanted to do LVAD research, And you need like sample size of like 1,000. Maybe this is not the right place for you. By the way, someone came in with an LVAD the other day in a trauma and we all kind of freaked out. So anyway, so it's not a perfect system for everybody. Well said.
Totally. Again, I think know yourself and know what you need to thrive.
All right, Michelle, it's time to offer a little bit of your background. Are you a county girl? Tell the world.
You know what? Big capital letter C county gal from Harbor UCLA when they were a 3-year program, and apparently now they're a 4-year program. But I am fully, like, I went to San Francisco General when I was a student, actually, and I'm like, I love this. Like, I love the chaos of this, the non-structure, the flat hierarchy, teamwork, all of it. It's kind of built my career into this whole Tricks of the Trade series that I did, and it's kind of very county philosophy. So I love it, and I've been at the General ever since I finished residency.
All right, well, any kind of final comments, themes, takeaways from our very interesting discussion here?
You know what? Now, that's exactly it. I was going to point it to the panel, because I feel like they're the experts now on this.
I just wanted to add that when I was saying that county programs are very, there's a lot of diversity within them. I think that we like to tell war stories about when we were residents, but I'm sure that Bellevue is much different now. But when I was a intern, we had a month that we had no tourniquets, and I didn't have a phlebotomist until I was a 3rd year. We didn't have an EKG tech until I was a 4th year, so which meant that we put in all the IVs. I know how to run a pump, and I know how to hang antibiotics and how to reconstitute all that stuff because we didn't have a Pyxis either, and we was literally just drawers. But at the same time, I think that at least for me, the lack of resources does not define countiness. I think that I'm actually very lucky to be at a very resource-rich county place because it's sort of the flagship county program within LA County system. So I have paracentesis kits, which is something I never had in residency. I've never not had gloves. I've never not had any of these things. Because it's California, the ratio of nurses it's capped. I had a night at Bellevue where I remember because our letters, our board was A through R, and we went to double F or double G with one nurse. The experience at a county place does not mean that you are going to be in a very resource poor place. I think that it's really dependent on where you are. I do think that it does create a sort of resourcefulness, though. And I think that it just because I've had experience working at community hospitals and at private hospitals and sort of university hospitals also, it's just that there are things you can't do that you would typically do in quote unquote the real world where, so you had like your young pediatric patient that comes in with abdominal pain that you don't think it's appendicitis. You don't have a primary care doctor you can call and say, listen, he looks great. I don't think it's an appy. Can you see them? And they'll, you know, I've done this at a community hospital. And they'll say, no, we'll see them at 4 o'clock, 12 hours from now. And I think that that's like stuff you can't do. There's a thing that you can do in, you know, in quote unquote, the real world. So I think you definitely learn a little bit different brand of medicine, but I think it's listening to all the other panelists. And I think that one of the things that I would like to say is that at least for me as a county guy, it's work that has a lot of meaning to it. And I think that I was just reading Viktor Frankl's book on A Search for Meaning. And one of these things, he quotes Nietzsche and says that if you have a why, you can endure any how. And that's kind of what I would say is that if you do the work and it feels like it's really meaningful, then everything else, all the other frustrations are meaningless. He goes, oh, I can't get follow-up. It's just meaningless. That's just sort of what it is. But that's, I think, what would be saying, it goes, if you're asking, it goes, how do I know if a county place is not for me? And it'd be, if you go there and you don't find meaning.
All right. Well said. I think that something's up on our panel very well. It's not like we're talking about austere environments. We're talking about individuals and their motivations and their capacity. I think that's probably the right way to close it. Okay, so with that, thank you, panelists, for our discussion. But we're going to get to the fun stuff, which is the tell me something I don't know about your residency commercial for all those medical students out there considering your four programs. And I'll say, Michelle, we've had three of these four programs represented previously on episodes of VM Match Advice. So they're going to really have to try to tell me something that I don't know about their program. But let's start with the program that hasn't been profiled before, and that is SUNY Downstate Kings County. Dr. Smith, tell us something that we don't know about SUNY Downstate.
So I think we are, despite not being on this program, and I'm really appreciative to have this opportunity, we are pretty much known for the county experience, which basically means high volumes, high acuity of patients, trauma, diversity and pathology, taking care of an immigrant patient population, some of the things that we've talked about throughout this podcast. But not only that, we also expose our residents to a wide breadth of subspecialties of emergency medicine. And that's probably the biggest point that I would like to highlight, is that through our diverse faculty, many who are fellowship trained or who have found their niches in emergency medicine and really developed careers, we are able to expose our residents to all of the possibilities of what they can do with their career. We use mini fellowships to do that. And so residents end up starting in their second year, getting involved with a mini fellowship. We have a variety: simulation, ultrasound, wilderness medicine, international medicine, disaster medicine, education. They start very early getting involved. They end up becoming leaders of these mini fellowships. And their CVs, by the time are done, they look like junior faculty CVs. So not only do they get the clinical county experience, but they have the leadership skills and a niche within the subspecialty of emergency medicine to really help them get into academic careers after they graduate. So about a national average of emergency medicine residents graduating from residency, about 20% go into academia. For us, it's about 60% since the inception of the program, and 40% of that 60% go into fellowship. Yeah, I think that's probably our biggest highlight. Also, we're in Brooklyn, and who doesn't love Brooklyn? It's the land of all sorts of food. We had the hustle and bustle of New York City and the convenience, while also being very neighborhood friendly.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by those stats at all. I encounter some really lovely leaders, particularly in medical education, which is my world, but across academics who've trained at your program. And I'm never surprised when I hear them describe their time at Kings County and how formative it was. So students, check out SUNY Downstate Kings County. Next, let's hear from Dr. White telling us about Emory Hospital. And again, we've heard all about Emory University from one Dr. Philip Shane before. So tell me something I don't know about Emory University.
Sure. Well, we are probably one of the largest three-year programs. We have 19 residents in the regular match. And actually, we have a really interesting international / funded program as well, too, with the Saudi government. So that's been a really interesting take on our diversity, if you will. So you'll hear us talk a lot about Emory, about wellness and resiliency, but definitely diversity and our involvement with ADEM as well. And so that's been a big push within our department through not just the residency, but through our staff and working within our community as well. and then very much enriched in cutting edge research as well with our department. We're working on some really interesting tracks with our residents coming up in the next few years. So I'm really excited for that to look at some of those, the output that our future academicians will be doing coming from our program. And then, of course, the education. So I've got a great leadership team, and we're all about family here. And you hear us say y'all all the time and invite you down to come spend a nice time with us. Who wouldn't want to come to Atlanta? We have great food too, but it's a great program. A lot of Emory pride that Grady made, if you will, and really great, excellent training down here where we love to serve our community.
I've sung the praises of Emory before in this series, and I just welcome you to the leadership role. I know you filled some big shoes, and it's a wonderful program. So students, check out Dr. White's new changes at Emory University. And then let's hear from the folks at Denver Health. Jenny, tell me something I don't know about life in the Mile High City.
Well, I bet I got something you don't know, because we just got a big announcement. We're super excited. Michelle and her team stole Chris Caldwell from us, but we finally have a new director of service for our department. And the announcement is Dr. Stephen Wolf is coming back to Denver. He is a nationally known educator. Was my program director. We couldn't be more excited to have him back with us. So that's our one big announcement. Denver, we're an old program. We've been around since 1974. We have a lot of history that we're proud of, but we're certainly not resting on our laurels. A lot of changes coming with didactics and some rotations. We are a really well-run, well-supported county hospital. Just had a bond supported by the people of Denver to build a new outpatient center here. We have a wonderful quaternary care academic center at the University of Colorado, and a really integrated system. And then Denver, I mean, the residents have a ski house in the mountains. And I'll tell you, from a tax perspective, legalization of marijuana has been really, really interesting here. So you guys in California have a lot of interesting patients to come. It certainly is a wonderful place to live and train. And we're really excited to have Stephen coming back.
Yeah, I heard a little capsaicin on the belly is all it takes, right? So, you know, you
totally
know the way to my heart. Gossip right here on EM Match Advice. What? My mind's blown. That's so exciting. All of the panelists should be sharing gossip right off the bat, especially if it's that good. That's pretty good stuff. So congratulations on the return of Dr. Wolf. And students, long and storied program. Check out Denver Health. Last one, Taku, take us home. Tell me something I don't know. This is going to be pretty hard.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be really tough.
Something I don't know about LA County USC.
I think that since everyone else talked about their city, I think that I grew up in Northern California. Everyone from Northern California can tell you that we're bred to hate people from LA. And it's nothing like I thought it was going to be living in LA. I remember growing up saying I would never live in LA, knowing nothing about it. But it's much more, especially on the east side where I live, you know, more in Pasadena area, it's actually much more family friendly. And it's just, it doesn't have a lot of the negative things that you can associate with Los Angeles. At the same time, even though we're on the east side, there are lots of residents that do live near the beach. So if that's really what you want to do, then it's definitely doable. I think that one of the things that people would assume about us, that it's funny, I was talking to another program about what do we set our initial screens for applicants. And we don't really care nearly as much about your numbers. But what we really care about is that, one, do you have you distinguished yourself in some other way? Kind of like in Teresa was saying. And also, we really care that, do you have a long-term commitment to service? Because we don't try to hide the fact that we're a very mission-oriented hospital. We have actually our mission that we are here to serve the people of LA County, literally engraved in our hospital. And it's something that we're really proud of and the history of that as well. So we really care about how much what your commitment to service has been in the past. Not to say that if you haven't, that we won't take you. I think that the other thing that I would give advice to just the applicants is that be careful about being enamored by the county. You know, there's some mythology and canonization about how you have to train at a county place. That goes, I don't really believe that. I think that it's just another place to train. So I think it's a great place to train. I think it's a great place that we have. It's not for everybody, but try to hide that either. So I think that we think we're great, but we don't think we're the best.
Well, you have a lot to be proud of and an amazing program with tons of talented educators, both junior faculty and big names that you've seen around for many, many years. So I think it's an awesome program. Check out LA County USC. Michelle, thank you for having us. Panel, thanks for being here. Go County.
Great episode, guys.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Emergency Medicine Match Advice. You can view any of our episodes for free on Allium's YouTube channel, or if you prefer, listen to the episodes as Allium podcasts on SoundCloud. Also, check out summaries of our episodes as blog posts on Allium.com and in the publication A User's Guide to the Allium EM Match Advice Series in the June 2017 issue of the Western Journal of Emergency Medicine. We love to hear from our listeners. Post your questions or comments for any of our episodes on Allium.com. Thanks for joining us.